Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and we are going to cover the chapter on measuring performance in international procurement. So what are the learning objectives we have in this chapter? Understand the process adopted for measurement of the performance of supply chain and logistics. Understand what needs to be measured in international procurement. Understand some of the important performance indicators. And the structure would be introduction to measuring performance of international procurement, important performance measures and aspects to measure, illustration of global procurement sourcing, KPIs, metrics of multinational company, emerging key performance indicators. So, introduction to the measuring performance of international procurement. And like they say, what you can measure, you can improve. What you cannot measure, you cannot improve. So it's important that, you know, we have KPIs, we have key measurements, which will help us to improve our performance. So key performance indicators and reporting helps global procurement functions monitor progress against the strategic execution, expected deliverables, organizational maturity, and demonstrate credibility to the stakeholders. Strategic execution is the strategy that we have set out at the beginning. You know, we have chucked out a strategy, how far we have been able to implement it. Expected deliverables, so whatever deliverables which have been promised to the leadership, they have to be measured as to the level we have been able to reach or achieve. Organizational maturity. So many places where you have the measurables are not objective, they are subjective in nature. So there we measure the maturity level of the organization. Also, maturity measures a cluster of KPIs, you know, to give you the overall maturity of the organization. Demonstrate credibility to the stakeholders, and the stakeholders can be the shareholders. And your own business stakeholders, including your employees, etc. So, important performance measurements and aspects to measure. So, you have the procurement value, the supplier performance management, employees, operational excellence, and process efficiency. And this you need to, you know, measurement is for the stakeholders. So, coming to the KPIs relating to procurement value. So, what do we measure? The sourcing return on investment, which is nothing but the return on investment as we know it in the management parlance. The spend per employee, what is the kind of a spend that we have per employee? It's just one of the KPIs. Savings generated during the given period across procurement categories. So you can either have procurement categories or the category management or the particular kind of procurement. And what are the savings that you have been able to generate? We will also see how do we compare that. Procurement strategy maturity. So as I said, you know, where you have a cluster or sometimes where you have a very subjective kind of a measure, then we also look at the maturity level. So, sourcing rigor applied and the proactive engagement with the supplier. So, what is the kind of resources, what is the kind of efforts which have been applied, and you know, how aggressively or how deeply have we engaged with our suppliers. Savings per employee, again, this is one of the measures, you know, to say what is the magnitude of the savings that we have been able to achieve per employee. Procurement levels, procurement leverage applied and managed spend. Further, last year's price versus current year price. So this can be one of the, you know, the KPI as to the kind of a reduction that you've been able to achieve. First bid compared to the last bid. So you started, you know, the bidding process, and what is the kind of a reduction that you have been able to achieve through the bidding process. Another measure can be the average of the bids versus the lowest. So when you look at the average of the bids, and you will find a range of values there, and from there, you know, what is the lowest, you know, you have been able to achieve finally at the end of the negotiations. Inflation and currency fluctuation adjustments. So also, if when you are doing it, you know, global procurement, you are dealing also in forex, and many a times, you know, your spend is in forex. So if the rupee has actually strengthened or weakened against the forex, let's say a dollar in this particular case, then that also has to be taken into account, because sometimes it may so happen that your spend actually has gone up. But if your spend has gone up by 5%, and if you find that the rupee depreciated against the dollar by 10%, then effectively it means that you have actually saved, and there is a positive development of 5% in terms of your spend. Previous year's market basket cost versus the current year cost. So here you are looking at the market basket or the overall spend that you have over a group of products. Improvement in spend through contracts. So, you know, instead of going through simple purchase orders, by going through a contract, what is the kind of savings that you've been able to achieve? So coming to the stakeholders, understand the expectations of the stakeholders. So do you really understand the requirement of the stakeholders? And stakeholders will include, you know, the leadership, the user functions, and other enabling functions. So here also the user function and the procurement function. Operational excellence, the use of sourcing through internet. So like we saw that there are four categories, and for strategic and, you know, the bottleneck products, you cannot use the internet. But for the commodity products, you know, with products with high spend and also products with low spend, especially for the products with the high spend, where you have got a major impact on your spend, and these are commodity products, the use of internet, you know, will certainly give you a lot of mileage. So whether we have been using it. Evaluation of cost per purchase order or line item. So if you look at the total administrative cost and the organizational cost, the procurement organization, then what is our cost, you know, per purchase order or per line item? Sometimes, you know, a purchase order may consist of only one line if you're purchasing one major raw material or so from a vendor. But many times, then you have multiple line items in a purchase order. So you can use either of the metrics depending upon the organization and the kind of purchase orders that you generally have been releasing. Compliance to contracts, catalogs, or preferred supplier. So what has been your compliance level, you know, with the contracts? Have you been able to derive the benefits that you set out to benefit when you entered into a contract? What is the level to which you have been able to comply with the contract or with the catalogs? Supplier performance management, so quality of the products, simple thing in terms of what is the percentage of quality which was, you know, good, or percentage of quality which where defects were found, you know. On-time delivery of the products, so whether the products actually were received on time or not. And that would depend upon the window or the tolerance which has been provided. So you may have asked the customer to provide the delivery in a particular week, and the week comprises, let's say, Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday. So what percentage of the deliveries were actually received within the desired or designated time period? Supplier rating score, including stakeholder feedback and input. So generally, when we talk of the supplier rating score, it's aggregate of number of ratings. So it could include your quality, it could include your delivery performance, it could include the quality of documentation, other inputs which are provided by the supplier, And you could also have the stakeholder feedback. So even the user department, etc., they can give their feedback on what is the how the interactions have been, how supportive the supplier has been, you know, whenever asked to make certain changes or adjust the schedules for delivery, etc. Supplier innovation. Has the supplier been innovative? Has he come forth and tried to solve issues and problems, you know, faced, or try to improve upon the existing performance? Compliance with the contract terms and conditions. So how well the compliance has been with the agreed terms. The essential skills and competencies in global sourcing. So let's look at some of the essential skills. Ability to identify and focus on the business needs. And this is most important, because ultimately the procurement function or global sourcing function has to align to the business requirement. You may be doing a wonderful job, but if you are not aligned with the business requirement, you may not be delivering what is expected out of you. Building propositions with clearly defined value expectations from the supplier. So even when you are creating propositions, value proposition, for expectations from the supplier, they have to be very clearly defined so that it is well understood by your own stakeholders, by the user department, and also by the supplier. If it is understood clearly, the compliance will be always improved. Ability to develop and establish strategic relationship. As we saw, the concept is towards collaboration, partnership, and the global sourcing function should have the ability to develop this partnership. And the more transparency we have, the better will be the negotiations. More transparent will be the transactions and even the negotiations. Integrated working across various functions through involvement. So within the organization, various functions for whom the global sourcing is working, they need to interact more closely and integrate so that, you know, they understand the requirement and you are ultimately able to deliver what is expected by the organization. Technical and domain skills. Naturally, you know, you don't need to be a domain expert, but then you need to have some basic understanding of the area that you're handling. So simple thing like if you're negotiating a consultancy contract or a audit contract, then you need to know what are the things involved, what are the tasks involved, what is the objective of the entire exercise, and what are the outcomes which are expected. Unless you know this, you will not be able to effectively negotiate on this. Leadership skills, because you also need a leadership skill to lead the team, both internally, align them with the business goals, because many a times you will find that people will digress and you actually start focusing on the non-essentials. So you need to have this skill to focus the energies on what really matters to the business, carry the team with you, motivate the team, and even probably lead by example when it comes to negotiation or, you know, managing the functions. Effective negotiation skills. This is very natural because this is one department which does the maximum amount of negotiations. So illustrations of global procurement, sourcing KPIs and metrics of a multinational company. So let's look at what are these. So procurement leverage applied and management spend. So percentage of addressable spend. So here we are looking at what is the percentage of addressable spend where efforts have been applied, you know, by the global procurement team. Strategic sourcing applied, again, percentage of addressable spend where the strategic sourcing has been applied. And this is expected to be as large as possible because, you know, even if you look at the ABC analysis, your A items will be constituting almost 80% of your spend value. So you are supposed to have applied the strategic sourcing at least to say about 60% of the spend, addressable spend. Spend per employee. So what is the spend per count of sourcing professional? Whole point being that less number of people are handling a higher amount of spend. Procurement return on investment. What is the minimum percentage to be defined by the management? Absolute amount of the percentage of the addressable spend. This is the next point on savings. So minimum percentage to be defined by the management. That means what is the return on the investment or whatever savings that you're going to achieve, what is the minimum return which are expected by the management? So management has to set a threshold. Savings, absolute amount or percentage of the addressable spend. So again, whatever is your total spend, what percentage do the savings account for? And we will also see, you know, how we can look at the savings. Savings per employee per annum. So this is the annualized saving divided by count of the sourcing professionals. Basically trying to say what is the average saving per person. Spend concentration, spend value with the top 20 or 25 suppliers. So we saw in another chapter that we were looking at the top 10. Here we are looking at the top 20 to 25 suppliers. And this will also tell you that what percentage of your spend is only with a few top suppliers. E-sourcing, value of sourcing through electronic mode as a percentage of total spend. So you have, you know, the sourcing which is through contracts, through direct face-to-face negotiation, etc. But as we said, that in case of the commodity products, but having a very high spend, this is the preferred mode to, you know, get the best value out of the process. And this will actually measure what percentage of your spend was negotiated through the e-sourcing. Competencies, average number of competencies per sourcing employee. This basically talks about the competencies, the skill set or the competencies, what you call it, inventory of the team members, the sourcing team members. So what are the emerging key performance indicators? Cash to cash cycle. And now, as you know, supply chain is basically taking care of the material right from the raw material stage till the finished product stage, till the material is delivered to the customer. So we normally talk of, you know, the cash to, or rather procure to cash, and then order to cash. Now here we are going to talk of the entire cycle from the time we actually spend on raw material or the inputs till the time we recover the money from the market, from the customers. So the priceless supply chain metric will help you calculate the length of time required to transform your resources into bona fide cash flows. So shorter the cycle, higher or better is the improvement. So cash to cash cycle should be as short as possible. Freight bill accuracy. So shipping and freighting your items from suppliers to a warehouse or warehouse to the consumer is vital to the success of your entire operations. And any issue or error can prove harmful with time and investment being wasted. So it's important, what is the accuracy of the bill? The other important thing here is also how you are utilizing your freight services. For example, if you have dedicated agents who are doing the freight for you, in the sense that you have vehicles which are entirely dedicated to you for either collection of the materials from the suppliers or for delivery of materials to the customers, are they being fully utilized? What is the percentage of utilization that you have there? What are the number of trips that they make, etc.? Perfect order rate. So this particular insight is one of the most critical supply chain KPI for businesses operating in multitude of sectors. So perfect order rate is where, you know, right from order entry right up to delivery and collections, there is no error. That means you have through and through a perfect system where there are no errors emerging. Days of sales outstanding. The days sales outstanding, or DSO as we call it, measures how swiftly you are able to collect or generate revenue from your customer. So typically how you measure this is, you have your outstanding at any given point of time divided by average sale. Some companies will use the average of an entire year. So they will look at the annual turnover divided by 360, and that average sale, when you divide the outstanding by the average sale, multiplied it by 30, it will tell you how many days of sale is actually outstanding in the market. That is the working capital that you have lying with the customers. Again, here it needs to be as short as possible. In my kind of organization, we normally measure the days of sales outstanding based on the average sale of the last 3 months. So the seasonality or anything like that, even if your sales are moving up, your average average sale per day will automatically get revised. And you know, if your previous year sales were low, then not necessary that, you know, you will continue to see higher DSO. The DSO is very dynamic in this particular case. Inventory turnover. So one of the most superbly helpful supply chain KPI available today focuses on the logistics KPI and helps a business understand the number of times its entire inventory has been sold over a certain time period. So this basically KPI will tell you how many tons inventory turns you've been able to achieve in a year. And this is very important because it talks about the maturity of your system. What is the kind of lead times that you have? How many months of inventory are you keeping? How quickly you are converting your raw material into finished product? And you will find that whenever your inefficiencies are high, your inventory turnover will be low. So for example, if you're carrying a lot of slow movers or non-movers, then your inventory turnover will be low. Or when you are having, many days of inventory as a raw material, or your finished products are lying unsold, for a longer period, then you will find that your turnover will actually come down. The inventory turns will come down. Gross margin return on investment. So every business, regardless of the service, product, or sector, strives to achieve the best return on investment for each and every commercial activity it undertakes. One little difference here, when you take the return on investment, you are generally taking the return, which is, what you take as the EBITDA or even the returns after the tax. But here, when you take gross margin, many of the sales and general administration costs are not actually deducted. So basically, when you talk of gross margin, it is, the sales value minus the cost of goods sold. So here, this is a slightly simpler calculation in that sense. Thank you.